Again, it's so good to see everyone out this morning and appreciate your faithfulness to the service today. 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I'm going to stop with those first seven verses. I want to use as a text verse, familiar verse found in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, which says, And her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I want to title my message this morning, A Faithful Mother's Need is Met. A faithful mother's need is met. This being Mother's Day, my desire this morning is to encourage all the mothers that are among us today. And by encourage, I mean to inspire you. I hope the message this morning will boost you up. Maybe the message this morning might cheer your hearts, and perhaps something might be said that might help you, that might be able to aid you in your motherly role. I think in Sunday school it was mentioned that, you know, it's no secret that mothers have many responsibilities. Many of you work outside of the home, and you do that for financial reasons, and we understand that. And many of you have to then come home and you work inside the home. And there's many things that you have to contend with. And I'm not just talking about the chores that have to be done, but I'm also talking about the needs of your family, the emotional needs of your family, the physical needs of your family, the spiritual needs of your family. And we could name all kinds of responsibilities that mothers have and have to do, but I know that we would miss so many. I guess the real question that always comes to me is, how do they do it all? How do they get it all done? And I know our mothers here today could enlighten us on that, I'm sure. But the biblical answer to that question, how do they do it all? The biblical answer to that question is mothers are equipped by God for the task. That's the biblical answer. Motherhood, you know, was first commanded by God to Eve. You know, in creation, we find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, where it tells us that God created man in his image. It says that in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So motherhood was instituted by God, along with being, as the scripture said, Adam's helpmeet. In other words, his helper, his aid, his companion. And my reading this morning, it shows us the added responsibility of widowhood. I believe the same also applies today to single parent mothers as well. There is an increased load when the husband is gone, whatever the reason may be. In this case, her husband had died. There's other reasons, but in that situation, the load is heavier. And we see this with this mother, and we see it with this widow that is before us this morning. And you know, this widow, this mother, she was in trouble, and she had need. And the first verse told us that her husband, he had died. He was dead. And we don't know a lot about her husband, other than that he was a prophet or a preacher, as we'd say. So her life, it was a struggle. Her life was a sacrifice even before he died. But he was a man of faith, according to the Word of God, and I believe he served under Elisha. And he must have been a hard-working man, since the Scripture tells us that he died, and he obviously died young. You have to feel for this woman. You have to feel for this mother. She had to deal with two distinct problems. It's hard enough to deal with one of them, but she had to deal with two problems. She had to deal with the fact that her husband was dead. He was gone. Her companion was gone. The one that helped her to do the things that needed to be done in the household and outside the household. But she also had to deal with his leaving left her with a great debt. She had to take care of that herself. And I thought as I was reading that this week, imagine the burden that this mother was carrying. We read in the Scripture here, and the creditor was come to take unto him her two sons to be his bondsmen. Or in other words, he came, she owed a debt, he came to take her sons that they might become his slaves. And you know, this was how it was done in that day. This is what they did. People that were poor and people that were in debt that owed money, they could sell themselves, so they could sell their children as slaves. And the thing about this is, though, that God had ordained and ordered that creditors, they not take advantage of people like this in their need. And I'm not going to take the time this morning, but you can go read the 15th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and it explains these practices there. But the problem was with this creditor was he wasn't acting in the spirit of God's law. This widow, with this coming upon her, she quickly sought wisdom. She quickly sought the Lord. And you know, this morning, mothers that are gathered here, I want you to understand this. Blessed is the mother, brothers and sisters, who knows where to go when she is in need. Blessed is the mother that knows where to go when her children are in need. And she knew where to go. She knew what to do. The Bible said she went to Elisha, and as she went to him, you know, we don't have a real detailed account of the dialogue or the conversation that was carried on between them. But no doubt when she met with Elisha, she just told him, "We're broke. We don't have any money. We don't have any food to eat." No doubt as she gathered with him, she says, "They've come to take my sons, and they want to enslave them. They want to make them bondsmen that they might take care of my credit or the debt that's owed." But I want us to notice that Elisha showed her compassion. Not only did he show her compassion, but he showed her the power of God to be able to intervene in the need that she had. This mother found the answer to her need was right there in her home. Right there in her home. Elisha, he considered the problem, and he said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" And he followed that up by saying, "What hast thou in the house?" What do you got in the house? You know, I think that's a good question for all mothers to consider today. What do you have in your house? I believe if you have a husband that loves you, I believe this morning if you have enough food to eat for today, I believe if you have enough money that you might be able to buy groceries for the rest of the week, if you do, you need to just see how blessed that you are. This mother, when asked the question, she had none of these. Her response was rather sad and kind of negative in a way, but she said, "Thy handmaid had not anything." He said, "What do you need?" And he said, "What do you have in the house?" She said, "I got nothing. I don't have anything." Mothers that are gathered here today, and even others, you know, when we think about attitude, attitude is so important in this life. And I can tell you this morning that when people have a negative attitude, it usually leads to someone being miserable. Instead of seeing what they do have, they begin to focus on what everybody else has. They start saying to themselves, you know, others, they got all the new stuff. They got the new house. They got the new car. They got the new furniture. They got the new clothes. I'm so deprived. Poor me. This mother said, I don't have anything in the house save a little pot of oil. Little did she know, but this was going to be the means for turning around and solving the problem and the burden and the suffering that she was faced with. Mothers, how long has it been? We sang a song a few moments ago, Count Your Blessings. How long ago has it been since you counted your blessings? Sometimes really just doing that is all it takes for us to be able to rediscover the blessings that we have in our own homes, in our own houses. No matter how big your house is, no matter how small your house is, no matter how new your furniture is, no matter how old your furniture might be, when we stop and count our blessings, we think about our families, and we think about the love for all of them that we have. Listen, mothers, if you have a burden this morning, the answer for lifting up that burden may be right at your home. This mother found that the possibilities, they're unlimited when you just allow God to use what you have. This woman, this mother, she listened to Elisha. She obeyed Elisha. The message that he gave to her, she heard it, she listened to it, she believed it, and she obeyed it in faith. Because as we look into the record that I read, not only did she, but she also involved her sons that were there with her. And look at what happened. Elisha told them to do what? Borrow vessels. He said, go to your neighbors and gather even empty vessels. And he wasn't thinking small, was he? Because he said, borrow not a few. In other words, what he was telling them, go and get as many empty vessels as you possibly can get from all of your neighbors and all of your friends. And then the thrilling moment arrived. They did what he said to do. They got the vessels. They got behind closed doors as they had been instructed to do. And just imagine this morning the great faith that this took to take that little pot or that little jar or that little vessel, whatever it was she had, where she said that she had just a little bit of oil in it, and she began to pour that oil into the very first vessel that was there, believing that God was able and God was capable of providing for her need, believing that He could take that little bit of oil that she had and multiply it till all of the jars, all of the vessels that they had were filled with that oil. But listen, that's exactly what this poor, destitute widow and mother did. She obeyed the prophet of God. She trusted the Lord to be able to multiply that oil enough to fill all the containers that they had borrowed. You know, every time I read this account, I can just see her in my mind's eye. I can see her and I can see her son's awe as this process begins. I don't know how many vessels they had, but I know she had one that had a little bit of oil. And I can just see her as she takes that little bit of oil and she starts pouring it into that first vessel. And she's pouring and pouring and it's filling up and it's filling up and it gets to the top and she stops. What do you think she did next? I know what I would have done. I would have looked in the vessel that I was holding. And I would have looked at the one I just filled up. And then I went to the next one. And I'd start pouring again until that one was filled. And I would have done the same thing again. I'd have kept looking at that one. But the Bible says she began to pour, and she poured until they were all filled, and then it stopped. And then Elisha told her. He told her to take the vessels that you have and go sell those vessels and take the money that you get from the oil that is within those vessels and pay off your debts. Pay off the debts so your sons don't have to be bondsmen. Pay off the debts so they don't have to be slaves. Now, how do you think that mother felt? Here she was, distressed and disturbed about what was happening. Her husband had died. Her debt was great. They wanted her sons to be slaves. And Elisha came in, stepped in, and showed her what the power of God could do with what she had in her house. Not only did it pay off the debt that she had, but as we read, it took care of the expenses that she had that were coming ahead of time. The Lord took care of her. I love this because the Lord met this mother at her need. And listen, mothers, today, you and I say we serve the same God today. We serve the same Lord today. And He is still meeting the needs of mothers. He's still meeting the needs of people, whatever that need might be. We have to put our faith and trust in what God can do. Listen this morning. Nothing is too hard for God. Whatever you mothers are struggling with, nothing is too hard for God. And you know what? This was no one-time miracle with the Lord. When we look into the Word of God, we have examples in the Bible where God took what people had and He did miraculous things in meeting what their need or their problem was. I'm reminded when Jesus was teaching in the desert, a great multitude of people were gathered round about, and it was getting toward evening time. People were getting hungry, and the Lord said, "What do we have? We got to feed these people." You remember that little boy, don't you? What did he have? What, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus took what he had. He took the 5 loaves and he took the 2 fishes and then began to feed the multitude of people. I don't know about those apostles and disciples, but I know how I would have been. I would have been taking what the Lord gave in those little baskets, and I'd have been going around the multitude of people, and I'd have been looking at the basket. And I'd have been feeding the people, and I'd have been looking at the basket. Because I know what Jesus had. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They fed that entire multitude of people. They didn't run out of food. In fact, the Word of God says when they had fed everybody and their bellies were full, they gathered together 12 baskets full of food. God took what they had and He multiplied it and He used it in a great and mighty way. I think about Moses a lot of times too. What did Moses have? He had a rod. I'm not going to take the time this morning to mention it all, but, you know, God took what Moses had, and He took the rod. He wanted Pharaoh to let His people go. He took the rod, and He turned the water to blood. We have examples where He took the rod, and what did He do? He parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. It wasn't long before they began to murmur and grumble some more, and He took the rod, and He tapped the rock, and fresh water came forth. And they were able to drink good, clean, clear water. So many other examples. God took what Moses had, took that rod, and He used it in a way to meet the needs that the people had. I think about a young boy. You might know him. His name is David. He had a task before him. Here were these armies on both sides of the hill. Goliath coming down every day and saying, "Hey, send me somebody out here to battle with me. There's no sense all of us battling together." I'm paraphrasing. But he said, "There's no sense in us battling together and hundreds or thousands of lives being killed. I'll just send out my best warrior. You send out your best warrior. And let's just, whoever wins, that's who the winner is." You remember, David, is there not a cause? David, this little boy, goes amongst his people and all of these warriors and says, "I'll do it. I'll do it." And King Saul says, "Well, come in here. You need something. You need a helmet. You need some armor. Here, take my sword." David, I don't know how he looked in those things. In my mind's eye again, I see this young boy. He wasn't 10 or 12. He was a young man. But I still see him trying to put Saul's things on, and it's too big. It doesn't fit. He can't. And he finally says, I can't use any of that stuff. Why not? He said, I haven't proved those things. What did he want to use? He wanted to use what he had. He used what he had, and God took what he had, which was his sling, and God used what he had to be able to conquer that giant. God works in so many ways. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is whatever you have is enough for God to use. That's the bottom line. Whatever you have is enough for God to use. What did Elisha say? What do you have in your house? I'm thankful this morning that I know that our God has boundless resources. I'm glad this morning that I know that the only limit that the Lord has is the limits that we place on Him. The only limit is our asking. The only limit is our thinking. The only limit is our praying too small. Our expectations too oftentimes, they're limited. Our faith sometimes is just too weak. Mothers, I want to say this to you this morning. Whatever your situation is, whatever it is that you are in or whatever it is that you may find yourself in the future, this morning I want you to just take this message. I want you to take this mother that we have record of in the Scripture, how that she knew where to go. She knew where to seek the help that she needed. She knew where she found that help, and she knew the faith that it was required of it, and also the work. You know, this just didn't happen by itself. She was invested in this. The prophet of God told her what she had to do. If she and her sons did not go and collect the vessels, what do you think would have happened? The creditor would have come and took her sons. They would have became his slaves, and they would have paid off that debt. What do you think would have happened if they did get the vessels, and they got in the house, and she started pouring it, but she didn't have any faith or confidence at all that anything was going to happen? But she did. She had faith. She trusted in the Lord. What I'm trying to say is she had a part in that. God did His thing, but she was required to do what she needed to do as well. And God blessed it when she was obedient to do that. And I just want you to know that whatever your need is this morning, mothers, it doesn't have to be just mothers, all of us that are gathered here today, whatever your need is, I want us to really understand that the Lord loves you as much as she loved this woman that I read to you in Scripture today. And your need can be met like her need was met, and however the God uses whatever you have in your house. Before I conclude my message this morning, I want to say this to the children that are here. I want to say this to the husbands that are here. First of all, how many children do we have here today? Would you raise your hands? You guys should learn by now. I do this every year. Are not every one of us a child of somebody? We're all children. We're all children. This verse that spoke about children and husbands. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. What does it mean to arise up? The word arise up means to make a public declaration. It's an announcement. This woman in Proverbs, this virtuous woman that we have recorded in Proverbs here, her children wanted the world to know how precious she was to them. She was the force behind whatever success that they had achieved. And they shamelessly, with boldness, stood and praised her dear, sweet name. I want you to notice something else here. These are not small children. I believe that the Scripture is talking about adult children. Because back in this day, young children were not given a public voice in the society of that day. Many Boys and girls do not honor their parents as they should when they're young. Kids, don't be like that. The Bible says, honor your fathers and your mothers. They don't honor them sometimes, and especially when sometimes they have to use the rod of correction to give a little discipline. Sometimes they don't honor them when their moms and dad enforces limitations on them, not allowing them to do some of the things that they might want to do. But the only reason they do that is they want to protect you. They want to keep you from getting into harm's way. They want to keep you from getting into something that you don't need to get into because of your own foolish nature. Don't know any better. But they know better. They know some stuff. As my dad used to say, if you just be quiet for a minute, I could teach you something. It's true. It's true. But when we mature from being the child and we grow up as sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, we begin to thank God for our mothers, our fathers. We begin to be thankful for the diligence that they expressed in trying to raise us right. And we get to the point where we then want to sing praises unto them. I can tell you this morning, I can attest to that in my own life. I didn't always appreciate everything when I was growing up. I didn't appreciate the discipline that I got. I wasn't always, you know, when my dad had to correct me, I don't think I ever said, well, thank you, Dad, I really appreciated that. That was just so wonderful. Can't remember ever doing that. But you know what? When I got older, I did. I looked back and I understood why he did what he did. Because he wanted me to teach me how to be a trustworthy person. He wanted to teach me how to live my life and how to function in our society in a proper way. He wanted to teach me how important the Lord was in my life and needed to be in my life, not just when I was little, but my whole life. And I find myself thanking him all the time. Sons and daughters should remember, there's nothing more precious to a mother, I don't think, than to be able to see her children and to hear their voice giving thanks to them for all that they've done, and I'm going to say all the sacrifices that they have made on behalf of their sons and daughters. I'm sure your mother, just like my mother, she did without many times so that I could have. And many times what she did without so I could have were not things that were necessities for me to have. Sometimes they were just things that I wanted. And she wanted me to be happy. So she did without, so I would be. And when mothers hear us praise and thank them for that, I believe it makes every sacrifice that they have made and everything that they have done for their families worthwhile to them. I think we should do it more often. I think we should more often tell our mothers how much they mean to us. Today's a good day for that. This is the day that our nation has set aside to recognize mothers, and it's a good time for us to let the world know what our mothers mean to us and how much that we appreciate them and how much that we respect them, and for us to give gratitude to them and to the Lord for putting them in our lives. We need to tell our mothers how much they mean to us. I don't think we can ever do enough or say enough to express our love to our mothers. Many of you can do that today, and I hope that you do if you haven't already. I hope you do. Brother Jim in Sunday school said, if your mother's here, make sure you put your arms around her neck and tell her how much you love her. My mother has been gone for a lot of years, and I can tell you I miss her so. But as Brother Jim said, the memories, I hold on to the memories. This is the first Mother's Day that my, as the world puts labels on, my stepmother, first Mother's Day that she's been gone. And I miss her too. And both of them were good, God-fearing women. And if you've got that in your family, what a blessing it is. And I pray that we'll acknowledge that. There's a man by the name of John Phillips. He is an author and he's a teacher. And he expounded on this 31st proverb by giving some descriptions on how family members might have responded to others concerning the love and the devotion of her family. And you can read that 31st book of Proverbs and you'll see what I mean. But he just threw out there and he said, you know, if someone had congratulated this woman's husband, you know, for some decision he made while he was sitting at the gate, you know, verses 11, 12, and 23 of this 31st Proverbs talks about this. But, you know, if they would have, you know, congratulated him or praised him for some decision that he made at the gate, or perhaps commented on that fine coat that he was wearing amongst them that his wife had made, or perhaps they thanked him for maybe a generous contribution that he made to the temple fund, or maybe he helped somebody that was poor. And if they were congratulating him from that, he would have probably said, you're going to have to thank my wife. It was her idea. Or maybe one of her sons who got a new house. His business was thriving and people were saying, boy, you must be doing really, really well. Congratulations on that new house. Congratulations on that new business that you've got going. He would have probably had to say, well, you probably should congratulate my mother. I've been successful in my business and I've been successful in my life because I have followed her advice. I don't know about you, but that's one thing I always remember about my mother. To me, she was a wise person. And I could go to her and talk to her about anything, and she gave me good advice. She was filled with wisdom, deserving of thanks. Maybe your mother's that way too. Or maybe the daughter that came along and somebody said, congratulations on that marriage. You got a good, good man. And she said, well, you need to thank my mother, because my mother was looking for me to marry the right person. She didn't make the decision for me, but she showed me to look for the kind of person that would love me and care for me and look after me and my needs. This 31st Psalm, if you're beginning in the beginning of it, was written for King Leoman. And we kind of see what the ideal woman growing old would be to him. As we read through this, we see that, you know, her husband should have nothing but praise for her. We see that her children would rise up and call her blessed. And when she came to her last rest, the family gathered in the old home, the neighbors dropped in to share memories, the poor of the city that she had helped so much gathered at the gate to talk about what a blessing she had been to them. Many women said, I'm going to be like her. I'm thankful for the example of good, godly women, good, godly mothers that are living before the world and before everyone else, the example that God would have. Younger mothers, you can learn from some of these older mothers. They'll show you what you need to know and they'll lead you in the right way. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers that are gathered amongst us today. We know that you have many challenges. We know that you have many struggles in fulfilling your role and your responsibility as mothers. I want to leave you with this. Trust the Lord for all the help that you need. Know that your families need you. Know that your families love you this morning. Know that this pastor prays for you. The things that you're faced with on a daily basis. And I hope in some way, as you reflect on this message today, that in some way today we have honored you as mothers. In some way that maybe we have inspired or encouraged you or lifted you up, caused a little gladness in your hearts for all that you do for us. And I truly am thankful for all of our mothers. Trust in the Lord. Remember when things get tough, just remember what Elijah said. What do you have in the house? And the Lord won't fail you. The Lord will meet you at your need. Is there a word on anyone's heart? That's my message today. Word of testimony, anything at all on your heart? Amen. 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 And I know you learned from her. I know you did. Yeah. Someone else, word on your heart. Anything at all. That's right. Right. Yep. That's right. The Holland family. Thank you, Sister Marcy, for that. We're continuing to pray for you. And, you know, this altar area is always available. God is speaking to the heart of anybody today, mother, father, child. If God's Spirit is drawing you, you need to come. You need to bow and pray and seek the Lord. Word of testimony on someone else. As is the custom and tradition here at Crossroads, on Mother's Day, we like to recognize our oldest mother that's amongst us, and we like to recognize the youngest mother amongst us, and we like to recognize the mother amongst us that has the most children present with her in church service here today. So we have a gift certificate for them and a container of flowers. So I'm just going to start with the oldest mother. Do we have a mother that's 95 here today, between 90 and 95. How about 89? Sister Bondell, you're in that camp too, aren't you? Close. I want to tell you, this year we're doing something a little bit different. Sister Virgie and Sister Blondell are always like months apart on their birthday, and usually, out of the kindness of their hearts, they split. One takes the gift certificate and one takes the flowers. And I believe this is a banner year for both of them. Big 9-0, right? May, and then June there, right? So we've decided this year, since it's such a special year, that we have a flower and a gift certificate for both of you, and you don't have to split it this year. So, Spencer, would you? Jack, would you mind coming up here and help me with that for real quick? All the flowers are the same, I believe. So if you would take a flower and a gift card to Sister Virgie, and you do one to Sister Blondell, I'd appreciate that, men. The gift certificates are a Country Western. The youngest mother that's amongst us today, do we have a mother that's 20 or under? Do we have a mother that's 25 or younger? Between 20 and 25.